Let's go to the Word, John 16, verses 13 to 15. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Amen. God is the God of truth. 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 Psalm 31, verse 5, he is the God of truth. Jeremiah 10:10 also. But also in John 17:3, it says, the only true God. Romans 3:4 says, let God be true. Sovereign Lord, holy and true. Revelation 6:10. So many places throughout the word, throughout the Bible, describes God to be such, that he is the God of truth, meaning he is the true God. The word that comes from him is true. The Son of God, the Son who comes from God, is also true, as well as the Holy Spirit who comes from him is true. Because he is true, he is the truth, all that comes from him is true. The Son, the Word, the Holy Spirit. Actually, in the order is the Word, the Son, the Holy Spirit are all true. He reveals that truth and leads by that truth. And as Psalm 43, verse 3 says, finally, he brings those who follow the truth into the holy dwelling or his tabernacle in heaven. Psalm 43, verse 3 says that. How many of you want to be led to the holy dwelling in heaven, the tabernacle of God in heaven? Amen. If we can feel the presence of God and feel blessed in the gathering as we worship and praise, how much more in the place where there is no end? And that joy is pure to last forever. I so long for that place. Amen? For us to go there, however, we need to know him as the God of truth. And that is to know the truth. That's what faith is. To know the truth. As Jesus himself in John 8 says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So knowing the truth is faith. And therefore your faith life is to follow the truth. So according to the truth, according to the teaching of the truth, by the Spirit of truth, we are to speak only the truth and to be guided into the truth and guiding into the truth all the days of our lives until the end. So we first ourselves have to hear the truth, we as believers, and be guided into the truth. And having heard the truth and knowing the truth, now we must lead others into the truth by speaking only the truth according to the teaching of the Spirit of the truth. What is the theme? What's the word that's being repeated here? Truth. Yes, that's right. In case you were sleeping, the theme is the truth. Truth. I want to know the truth. How many of you want to know the truth? Who wants fake? Aha, now I got your attention, right? This is sort of like so commonly heard nowadays, from the top of the country leader to every other person. Fake, fake, fake. Or fake news is something that we didn't hear before, but recently we're hearing more of. And with that, misinformation is another common word or theme that people are now very nervous and worried and anxious about. Thanks to the social media, the development, and now with the advancement of AI, that fake images can be created and fake stories can be enhanced by these images, not just photos, but moving images that look really real. In the past, when you watch the infomercials and say like, are you frumpy? Are you depressed because you're overweight? Did you get fired because you're overweight? Or people don't like you because you're overweight and you're not an ideal weight? Take Dexedrine and you're going to look like me. You know, so. And then those pictures back in the day look so fake. Like the head and the body don't match at all. It looks like I just cut like the magazine pictures. You know, those high school collages that you used to make. You know, and then you put the head and the body from someone else and you put it together. And then you got the muscle man. And it's like, take this and your life will be better. You get your job back, even a better job. You're going to get your love life and it's going to be even better. Like this guy over here, this girl over here. And when you watch that, you're like, so fake. But you're all laughing because you've seen one of those commercials, right? It stuck with you because it's so silly. And it's so obvious that it's fake. However, now, because of artificial intelligence, computers are so powerful and they're so good at creating images that they can actually impose, for example, a president or very well-known celebrity or political leader with their existing moving image and put something else into it, program into it, so that they're actually doing something else, you know, so that it's they can recreate and manipulate to the degree that you cannot tell. We're at that level of you cannot tell whether this really happened or not. So that's why Facebook, Google now are taking down misinformation. They're all fighting to sort out what is true and what is not. And when you ask people nowadays, even I find myself saying this all the time, I go like, but who knows? Who knows? We just don't know. We don't know what we hear is true, and we don't know what we see is true out in the world. So this whole idea of virtual reality, when it was first discussed, I remember hearing about it and going like, oh my God, that sounds crazy. This happens in Matrix, in the movie. It doesn't happen in real life. But now we are living it. We are seeing it. And they're saying that now with 5G, right now it's still spotty 5G, the network, especially in this country, which is so big and so sparse. But when it does come, and it will come, when powerful connections are available for all, not only will we have self-driving cars, but people will be living in the virtual reality, which is all made up, right? So all made up. So when people are in virtual reality, they can't tell the difference between what reality is. So what they're seeing and hearing, and you could be... I went to a museum of Bible, and they had the virtual reality thing. Like, you're going to Jerusalem. All I can see is my feet underneath the thing. I'm like, I can see my feet on the carpet still. It's like, hello, could we invest in better camera, better thing? But I think it's getting better. It is getting better. Maybe the museum needs more money, so that's why they didn't have a better equipment. But year by year or month by month, they get better devices, and they are getting really powerful so that you really cannot tell the difference. So when people take off those devices, they don't know if this is reality or that. Or in fact, even if this were, they don't want to be here. So they're going to put it back on and go back to that. So people will start working in VR. People will start having relationship in VR. And they're not even going to be coming out of it. And that's how a lot of people predict these, especially who are in technology today. It's a very scary world we're living in, if you think about that. As the Bible tells us, the only place where we can find the truth that does not change. Because by definition, truth does not change. Truth cannot change. If it changes, it is not true. True? True, yes. This is why you are trained to do true, false. All those tests that you used to hate to take. I used to hate those things. It's like, which one is it? 50-50, truth or false. Yeah, to identify what is true and what is false. But this world itself knows no truth because the Bible alone contains the word of God, who alone is truth. He alone is true. He alone is the truth. How many of you believe that? Proverbs 22, verse 21 says, teaching you to be honest and to speak the truth so that you bring back truthful reports to those you serve. Proverbs 22, 21 says that. If you know that God is the truth, he speaks the truth, his word alone is truth, and therefore you have heard it, and therefore you now know you need to speak that truth. You need to live your life knowing and hearing and speaking only that truth because he's the one who sent to you, the God of truth. Similarly, in Proverbs 25, 13, it says, like a snow-cold drink at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to the one who sends him. He refreshes the spirit of his master. So the master sends his servant to speak on his behalf. And if the master is the God of truth who says, here is my truth, and I want you to speak it and speak that alone, when we do so, even if people don't hear it, cannot even tell, and even mock us or persecute us for it, as long as the master is pleased, his heart is refreshed because he hears the words of truth that he himself wants to speak, then he will finally bring such servant back to be with him forever. We want to be that servant. Amen? Yes. Let's read Psalm 1 together. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff. The wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The way, the book of Psalms, with many psalms, such a blessed book. We love to read. We love to recite from that. Is that here's the definition of blessing. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. I want us to remember that and think about that. Meditate on that every day. Because the way God sees us, God, and he sees those who are worthy of his blessing, are those who refuse to walk in the counsel of the wicked. The counsel of the wicked is lie, our lies. Right? Those who do not, blessed is the man who does not lend his ears to lies. Blessed is the man who's hungry for the word of truth. Blessed is the man who does not share, stay in company of those who are deceived, those who are deceiving. So we have to understand who God is. And when we do, we know that he sees us and he sees those who love his truth. Psalm 26, 3-5 says, "For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth." And the New King James Version says, "In your truth," and NIV says, "In your faithfulness." Same meaning, faithfulness and truth, which does not change. So the Bible tells us who the truth is, what the truth is, in comparison or contrast to the worldly books. There are many, many books in the world. Yes, so many books. Although less people are reading books these days, sadly. There are still a lot of books out there to be read, but they're all for the benefit of the flesh. None speaks of the truth for the souls of men. The Bible alone is that book that speaks the truth for the souls of men, because God is the truth. So truth is the law that does not change, the word that does not change. Truth is the surpassing knowledge, Philippians 3:8 says. It is the excellent knowledge that is above all knowledge. So we ought to remember that, how the Bible emphasized that God is true, the word is true, his word is true, he alone is true, must listen to the truth that God is, that God speaks, and do not lend your ears to the lies of the world, the liars out in the world. Why is that? Because there are liars in the world. Because there is the liar in the world. Who is that? It is the devil. When God made man, our ancestor, the ancestor of all men, the ancestor of all living being, that is Adam, and placed him in the Garden of Eden, God gave him the word for him to live by. And that was to not eat. Do not eat from this tree called the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because if you eat of it, you will surely die. You will certainly die. No joke about that. No ifs about that. There's absolutely no compromise. If you eat of it, you will certainly die. Do not eat. So that was the word that Adam had to live by for the spirit that he is. Of course, he's two, the spirit and the flesh. The spirit had to live by that word. However, in Genesis 3, so God spoke that, and we read that in Genesis 2:16 and 17, but in Genesis 3, next chapter, verse 1, it says, "There was a creature that was more cunning than other creatures." Which creature was that? It was a serpent, snake. It's very cunning. And when you look at a picture of snake, it looks very cunning. It's very displeasing with the eyes, and it just doesn't move. And then once in a while, you know, and then the fangs, it's just like, oh God, it gives me the creeps. Just what it looks like and what it represents, because that's how he was made. Yeah, it is God, according to his design, he made him. And God gave that warning to Adam ahead of time, knowing that the serpent was there. Yes, and the serpent, because he was made to be cunning, and in fact, the serpent, not just the creature, but in this time, this serpent coming to Adam and deceiving him and saying, did God really say, of course, it was through Eve that the deceit would go to Adam, that you cannot eat from any of the trees? And she said, of course not. It's just that one tree. And that cunning serpent said, you will not surely die. I know God told you, you will surely die, but you will not surely die. Don't worry. You can eat and you will live. In fact, if you eat of it, you will be like God. Those words were sweet to her ears, and she ate the fruit, and she repeated the same words to her husband, Adam, and he was deceived by those words. Now, it was not just the serpent, the creature, but it was actually the devil, who was the fallen angel, Satan. Satan, who was made an archangel, was supposed to serve God in the spiritual heaven. But because he became proud, Isaiah 14:12 on describes, he was cast out from the spiritual heaven and became the fallen, corrupted angel to be contained in Hades until the day of judgment. Here in the garden, however, he appeared as a serpent and he deceived the woman and deceived the man. And because of that, the man took the fruit that was forbidden, and as a result, he sinned. That was sin. And because of sin, his spirit died. Now he's supposed to follow the devil whom he listened to as his slave. But this is not just, oh, poor Adam 6,000 years ago, it's your problem. It's actually my problem because I came from him. We all came from him. All men came from Adam, and all men therefore became hellbound to join the devil in the eternal fire prepared for him. That became the reality. But it wasn't going to end there. God had planned to reveal himself as the truth. But for him to reveal himself as the truth, the whole world has to be under what? What do you think? For light to shine, there has to be what? If you're going to swing flashlight in the middle of the day, does it work? No. But if there's a blackout, then it works. For God to reveal himself as the truth, the whole world has to be in the darkness of lies. You understand how God works, yes? Because he alone is the truth. He began his work by calling on the people of Israel. And by sending Moses, he did this miraculous work called the Exodus, which is to lead millions of people who had been there for generations under the Pharaoh as his slaves. Now, all that was according to God's word in Genesis 15. When God called their ancestor Abraham, in Genesis 15, God said to him, when he was childless, he will have many, many descendants. And these descendants will live in a place that is not their own. And they will be mistreated there in that foreigner's land, someone else's land. And after four generations, he will bring them back to where Abraham was promised. That's later known as the promised land, the land of Canaan. In Exodus 12:41, at the end of the 430 years to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. So overnight, called the Passover night, according to what God has said to Abraham hundreds of years before, all the people of Israel, who are known as the Hebrew slaves, were brought out from Egypt to be brought into the promised land. How many of you believe that? You've certainly read that and heard that. Amen? Yes, there's a lot of people who believe this because they are those people. Yes, they're the descendants of Abraham to this day. They are thriving. They're all around the world and they have a nation called Israel because of this. To the people who left their slavery in Egypt, God gave the law. And the law, also described as the commandments, are described as the truth. So Psalm 119, 142, and 151 says, your righteousness is everlasting, and your law is true. Yet you are near, Lord, and all your commands are true. So what are true? The law is true, and the commandments are true. So how many commandments did God give to the people of Israel? Did we not have breakfast today? Yeah. I mean, just very common sense. The stone tablets, how many commandments were there? 10, yes. But this is because you only watch those children movies. That is, it's the stone tablets, 10 commandments. But if you are here long enough, you know how many commandments there are? Yeah, 613 points to the law. Because if there are only 10, you don't have the book of Leviticus or Deuteronomy, yes? But all of that has so many commandments about what to eat, what not to eat, what to wash, and how to kill animals, and how to give sacrifice. Endless, right? But there are hundreds of them, and they are all truth because they came from the God who is the truth. And God revealed his name to the people of Israel as Jehovah. So in the tabernacle, the sanctuary, the name of the Lord God who is true, who is the truth, was put in or placed, which is the name Jehovah. But inside the most holy place was the ark with the stone tablets that said, do not do this, do not do that. Do not have any other God. Do not make idol for yourself. Do not misuse the name of the Lord. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy, and all of that, right? And up until, do not lie, do not covet. So all the Ten Commandments, representing hundreds of commandments, were placed inside the ark for the people to remember. The important thing about the commandment is this. Anyone who sinned, would be, meaning anyone who breaking the commandment would be put to death. And it was that person who sinned who would deserve death. Let's go to Ezekiel 18, verse 20. 18:20, the one who sins is the one who will die. Once again, the one who sins is the one who will die. The child will not share the guilt of the parent, nor will the parent share the guilt of the child. The righteousness will be righteous, will be credited to them, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against them. So whoever sins will deserve the price of sin, which is what? What's the price of sin in the Old Testament? It's death. So it's the one who sinned who would die. Your mama couldn't die for you, and you couldn't die for your mama or papa or your brother. It's the one who sinned who would die. That's what the law said. And the law, because it is true, there was no if or but about that. So they knew that. The people of Israel, who called themselves, because God said, you're going to be my people and I'll be your God. They called themselves the people of God, the chosen people. And they knew that had to keep the law, and that if anyone sinned, that sinner would deserve death, and no one else can replace the penalty of his sin. The fall of the people of Israel came, however, because they started walking away from the truth of God. No one called for truth. No one called for justice. It says in Jeremiah 5, 1 to 2. Although they say, as surely as the Lord lives, still they are swearing falsely. So they do not call, they do not seek the truth, and they continue to speak falsely. Because of that, God brought on destruction to the people, the nation of Israel. Because who is God? God is the truth. God is the truth. God is true. God is true. So anyone who lies, anyone who does not pursue truth, but pursue or listen and therefore pursue, follow lies, will be destroyed. And that's what happened to them. Also, there were people called the false prophets. They called themselves prophets, but in reality, they were false prophets. They were false prophets because they spoke of visions that they never had, that God never gave them. So that's why God called them false visions, false divinations. So they say they hear things, they see things, but God said, I never showed you anything. I never spoke to you. Where did you get that from? And it was from their own heart they started to lie. So Ezekiel 13:19, you have profaned me among my people for a few handfuls of barley and scraps of bread by lying to my people who listen to lies. The people were listening to lies and they kept going. Oh yeah, you like it? I have more, I have more, I have more. So they kept saying these lies because people listened to the lies. And the Lord said to them, you have killed those who should not have died and have spared those who should not live. The Lord said, you need to kill the sinner. And they say, oh, it's okay. God is not that scary. He's loving. He's not going to kill you. And then they said, well, the person said, but I'm righteous. I kept the law. But you know what? You don't deserve to live. We're going to put you to death. That's what these false prophets did. And God was angry. God was angry and said, my wrath is coming to punish you. And the reason why you are in destruction, you are in curse as a nation, it's because of your tolerance. Tolerance and listening to the false prophets. Ezekiel 14:3. Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. They have set up what in their hearts? Idols. They have set up what? Idols. Where? In their hearts. What are idols? False gods. False gods. Men have set up false gods in their hearts. They choose to serve those false gods. They have, in other words, they have made their hearts to be their gods. So you have to be very careful. Some people say, I follow my heart. You heard the saying, right? Follow your dream. Follow your heart. But what about your heart? How the Bible sees heart is that heart is cunning. In the book of Proverbs, it's repeated there as well. In Ezekiel, here, right here. You have set up idols in your heart. Men have set up idols in their hearts. In the eyes of God, men have wicked hearts. Why? Because they have inherited sin from their ancestor Adam. And then the liar, the biggest, the fattest liar is in the world. Who is he? The devil, the origin of sin. From the beginning, he sinned, telling himself, I could be like God. I will be like God. He set himself up to be above God. In Isaiah 14:12 it says, right? So he wanted to raise himself above the throne of God, saying, I am like God. I am just as good as God, as powerful, as great as God. So you could be too. Those are the lies that he still speaks to this day. But right here, we see the reality of the people of Israel. They were under curse because of this. But they will bear their guilt. The prophet will be as guilty as the one who consults him. Verse 10 says, what God is warning is those who are deceiving and those who are deceived will be treated the same. The false prophets are among you because you like to listen to them. There will be none if you weren't listening to them. They'll be like, man, I'm out of job. Nobody wants to come and hear me. You know, it's like psychic reading. Like the businesses are opening, and I see on the highway, like psychic reading open for business. I mean, businesses are closed, but psychic reading is open. I guess you can mask and go in there and ask for your, you know, get your palm read. So those businesses are up because there are people who want to go in there and give them business. Yes? So that's what happened here. The false prophets are guilty, but also those who seek their counsel, they seek their wisdom or seek their lies are just as guilty as they are. But all this, as I said before, is to reveal who God is, that he alone is true. And Job 12:16 says, to him, to God belongs strength and insight. Both deceived and deceiver are his. The deceived belong to God. The deceiver belongs to God, meaning it is all within God's plan, his will, to reveal himself as the only truth, the only one, that the deceiver exists and the deceived exist. That's how perfect our God is. And simultaneously, there was prophecy of God sending the truth from heaven. Psalm 57:3 says, he sends from heaven and saves me. He sends forth his love and his faithfulness. And the New King James Version says, God shall send forth his mercy and his truth from heaven. From heaven, the truth will come. From heaven. In Malachi 2:6 says, the true instruction was in his mouth. Nothing false was found in his lips. He will turn many from sin. Who is this one who will come from heaven to only speak the truth, to turn men from their many sins? It is the Son of God coming in the name of God, Yeshua. Hallelujah. That's why standing before the temple that had the name Jehovah, that contained the law, the commandments given in the name Jehovah to the people of Israel, he said what? Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. He said this temple, he didn't say that destroy and get rid of it for good. He said he will raise it again, meaning it will be replaced by a new temple. The temple that you're standing before has the name that was given through the angel of the Lord to only one people, a nation, on earth, that is the people of Israel. But now he has come to tear that down, to build a new temple with the name of God. The Son came in, the Son came with. And that name is Jesus in English, Yeshua in his original name, his original pronunciation. Say it with me, Yeshua. John 5:43 says it's the Father's name. He came to reveal what the truth is. So he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. How can he say that? How can anyone say they are the truth? Let's go to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Who is God? God is the truth. God is the truth. God alone is the truth. And it says the Word was God. The Word was the truth. Can we say it together? The Word was the truth. When? In the beginning. When is that? The beginning of the universe? No. Before the universe? Yes. Before the creation, in eternity, he was the Word, who is the truth. Amen? I want you to, like, you know, when you peel an onion, like you have layer and layer, layer. It's annoying to peel an onion. But the idea of peeling is like when you peel through those thin layers of peel, you get to the flesh. And every time you peel, you see a different angle of that thing that you're looking at, the vegetable, right? So every time you're reading John, it's the same thing every week. Oh, my God, destroyed this. Some years ago, some guy said to Pastor King, always Adam, Pastor King, you always Adam. Destroy the temple, destroy the temple. The Word, the Word, the Word in the beginning. Yet it is the same every week. This is the same progression that we follow. And many people have told me just recently too, they're like, yeah, you're always going the same thing. Yes, I'm going the same thing because I'm preaching from one source called the Bible. What else do you expect? I don't have any new Bible, new book. This is the only book that I know. But because the word is living and active, this contains the living and enduring word of God. That is the truth. Every time we are studying it, there is newness in terms of understanding, getting deeper in our understanding so that we may become more in awe of who God is. Hallelujah! That He alone is the truth. And that's why in verse 14, what does it say? The Word became flesh, made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. He came full of truth. He came to be revealed as the truth, and He will speak the truth because He only knows the truth. And He will guide into the truth the souls of all men who believe in Him. And that He will replace this temple of Jerusalem with a new temple that is not of earth, that is not made by hand, but it will be a heavenly one. It will be a spiritual one, and He will replace. Now, what does the temple represent? The temple represents the Old Testament. The Old Testament is about the law and the prophets, right? The prophets were supposed to speak of things that are coming. The law is what they had to live by. The law, the prophets. However, with Yeshua coming, He is going to now replace the law with the truth. And that He will send the Spirit of truth to guide the souls of all men. Not men leading the flesh of men, but the Spirit of truth will come to lead the spirits of men to the truth. That was all included when He said that, because He Himself is the truth. His word, the word that He will speak, is the truth, and that He will send the Holy Spirit. That's why with John the Baptist, who is the last prophet, speaking of Yeshua, said in Matthew 3:11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He's so powerful. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So He spoke of the one who's coming after Him, because the prophet's job is to speak of the one who's coming. The coming of the Messiah. The coming of the prophesied one. The truth to come from heaven. And it was John who baptized Yeshua indeed, so that Yeshua may be revealed as the truth as He began His public life, as His ministry as Messiah. And John 5:33, Yeshua said, you have sent to John, he has testified to the truth. So John the Baptist spoke of the Messiah, who is the truth, who will speak the truth. And even the Father God had said in Matthew 17, when a couple of the disciples went up to a mountain and saw Yeshua transfigured in the mountain. He transfigured. So His clothing changed so bright and so clean and so glowing. Peter and John saw that, and they were so touched. And not only him, he appeared with the two heroes, the heroes of the Old Testament. Who were they? Moses, who represents the law, and Elijah, who represents the prophets. So these are the pillars of the Old Testament, right? So the law and the prophets, Moses, Elijah. So they were like, that's it. We don't need anything else. That's it. There is our rabbi, our Lord, and there are the two superheroes of the Old Testament. This is a perfect combination. Let us just go ahead and build like shelters right here to commemorate this moment. But then there was a loud voice saying, this is my son whom I love. This is my, not like this is my servant Moses, and there's another one, Elijah. And oh, by the way, there's my son too, Yeshua. There was only one that the voice from heaven spoke of, and that was the Son, Yeshua. And they were trembling because they heard this loud voice. And when Yeshua came to say, oh, get up, wait, it's okay, come stand up. And when they saw Yeshua back to Himself, no more glowing, and there's no more Elijah or Moses there. What does that mean? Now the time has come. You do not listen to and you do not fear the voices of the law and the prophets. Now you must listen to him as the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. Listen to the voice. Listen to the words of Yeshua. Hallelujah. But even at that time, they did not want to listen. The people who followed him, especially the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, who were the religious leaders and the teachers of the law, they did follow Yeshua with the rest of the people only to find charges against him. And they did not believe him for what he said and who he said he was. And here's Yeshua speaking. Let's go to John 8, 37 to 44. Speaking to the Jewish listeners there, he said, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Pause there for a second. So he's saying, you're looking to kill me, because he knew their hearts. He knew their hearts was that they were looking for a reason to kill him. They're going to conspire to kill Jesus, because in their minds, in their ears, Yeshua was a cult leader. Because he was saying that he was sent by God, meaning that he was God's servant. Not only that, that he was the son of God, making himself equal to God. According to the Jewish law, the very number one commandment, and actually it is the commandment that wraps up the whole Ten Commandments, which is that you are to have no other God but the Lord God. Serve no other God but the Lord God. There's only one God. But if you say, I'm the son of God, you make yourself to be God. So that would be two gods. It's unacceptable to the Jews. Because God gave them the law. God gave them the law to live by. And that's why they are passionate for the one God that they serve. So they wanted to kill Yeshua. But here's Yeshua saying, I have told you the truth. And the truth is that I heard from God. Who is God? He is the truth. So what I heard from the truth God, true God, is the truth. And I speak you the truth, but you won't listen to me. Let's continue why that is. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. First they said, Abraham's our father. And then they're saying, God is our father. So they're going back and forth. Yeah, okay. And then 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Dum, 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 dum. This is it. That's it. They wanted to just kill you. Just get rid of him right now. Because what was he saying to them? That they are children of the devil. They took pride in themselves as Jews, the circumcised people, the only people on earth whom God chose to be God's people, saying, we are Abraham's descendants, we are children of God. And then here's Jesus saying, if you were children of God, you would listen to me, and you would pay attention to what I say and believe me. But you're sitting there going, what a liar he is. We need to kill him. This is because your father is a liar. Uh-oh. Is he saying that Abraham's liar? That God is a liar? No. What he's saying is that you are children of the devil. What does that mean? All men were born under the power of sin, under the power of the devil since the time of Adam. And without, therefore, knowing the difference between truth and lie, remember the virtual reality and the reality? Yes, not knowing the difference, because all they've heard all their lives are lies. Lies. What the world promises are lies. All the things that you heard as the true fact, that are all about the flesh, pulling you away from the spirit that you are, pulling you away from coming close to God and approaching God and coming near to God to know him, to live for him, for the soul that you are. All those words are there for lies because you're under the devil. You don't know it. Because he's a liar, the father of lies, and you, in fact, are also a liar. So that's why the Jews just could not tolerate him. John 12, 49 to 50, Jesus continued to say, for I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all I have spoken. I know that the command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. And according to what he, because of what he said, the Jews just could not accept him. So those Jewish leaders, the priests, got together to conspire to kill him and hand him over to the Roman soldiers. But this was all according to the plan, the will of the Father God from the beginning. So when he was led away to death, as he died, as he breathed his last, what did Yeshua say? He said, "It is finished." The moment that he breathed his last was the moment he was completing the mission that he was sent to do, the command that the Father gave him to obey using his choice. As John 10, 17, 18 says, the Father gave him the command to lay down his life, and he did so willingly, using his free will, his choice. He obeyed the command of the Father. The moment he did so was the moment that he was trusting the Father to keep his promise. Trusting the Father. Father, you alone are true. Your word alone is true. I trust that you will save me. In Psalm 69, 13, it says, I pray to you, Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. Another way, another translation said, your true salvation, or the truth of your salvation. Your sure salvation is the truth of your salvation. So when he died, the moment he died, even though he is God, when he died in the flesh that can die, that took on the sin of all men. He became sin as he bore sin, the sin of the world. And that was the moment that he would be then abandoned in Hades, in the place of death. And only the Father can save him. And because the Father is the God of truth and his word is the truth, when the Son did it according to the word of the truth, he would be saved. And the Son did so, and the Father did save him. Hallelujah. What is the salvation, the truth of salvation? It is his resurrection. Through his resurrection, he would testify that the Father's word is true, that his word, Yeshua's word itself, is the truth. That God is the truth, his word is the truth. Yeshua is the truth, his word is truth. Say with me, God is the truth, his word is the truth. Yeshua is truth, Yeshua's word is truth. Hallelujah. And that at that moment, he condemned the father of lies, the devil, proving that he is the liar when he said, you will not surely die. You will not surely die. When he said that to Adam, and Adam listened, that was the moment he was deceived. And because of that, sin entered the spirit, and spirit had died. And only when Yeshua died, his spirit body dead on the cross, we see the result of the lie, and therefore condemn. You are the liar, and now you will go to the place of punishment, eternal punishment for all the liars, and that's the fire of hell. That's what happened at the cross when Yeshua died. Hallelujah! And it was the moment that the mercy of God and the truth of God met together. Psalm 85:10 says, mercy and truth met together. It's an interesting statement. Mercy and truth met together. Mercy and faithfulness met together. It's like they're friends. Mercy and truthfulness met together. But when you think about that, mercy and truth, they do not seem to be friends, because truth is the law, right? You follow the law or else, right? Law, law. It's law defines what is true and what is not. And if you're on the wrong side of the law, then you're punished. But mercy is overflowing with compassion and love and grace to forgive and to cover. So they seem contrary, but that word is a prophecy of this moment, saying mercy and truth met together. And that's the moment Yeshua, who is the truth, became sin for all men. That in his one body, he would show the mercy of God and accomplish the truth of God as he died as sin, to take the sin of the world by becoming that redeeming sacrifice. Hallelujah! So that's why Romans 5:19 says, let's read that together. Romans 5:19. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners. Whose disobedience? Adam. There you go. The first Adam. And all men were made sinners. So also, through the obedience of the one man, many will be made righteous. Who is that one man who obeyed to death? It is the last Adam, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Through his obedience, the many will be made righteous. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, the same thing. As Paul wrote, both saying that he who knows no sin became sin, on our behalf so that we might become what? The righteousness of God. Hallelujah. So mercy and truth met in that one body of Yeshua when he laid down his life willingly and bled out his precious blood, his precious life to redeem us and to forgive us, to cleanse us of our sins, to give us new life. Hallelujah. And 3 days after his death, just as he said he would, he was raised back to life. Yeshua resurrected. Say amen if you believe that. He resurrected to prove that he is the truth. This is the truth that set him free from death, from the grave, from the power of the devil. Hallelujah. He was taken up to heaven, as Psalm 43:3 says, yes, send your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle, to your dwelling place. Let your truth guide me to your dwelling place. That's where Yeshua entered the Father's house in heaven, the holy city, for he carried out the truth, even if it meant laying down his life. And how was he accused? He was accused as a liar because the Jews believed that he was a liar. He was the worst liar, saying that he was God. But he proved through his resurrection, through his resurrected body, through the glory of his resurrection, that he is the truth. And as he sat down on the throne as the Lamb of God with the marks on his body, Revelation 3:14 says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Hallelujah. He is the Amen. Amen. What is Amen? Amen means truly. True that. True that. I told you, right, when I went to preach at an African church in England, you know, because like African churches are very live and they say, amen, hallelujah, brother, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm going like, yes. And instead of saying, hearing amen, I'm hearing somebody talking. Like every time it says like, Yeshua, praise him. I'm like, who's this guy so fresh? Who's this guy? So I was like looking around, who's saying all this? What he was saying was, that's right, that's right, that's right. True that, true that. So he was saying amen in his own words. So amen, amen. Amen means truly, truly. Truly, that is true. Revelation 2:21-5 says, these words are trustworthy and true, speaking of the words of the one who is seated on the throne, because it's from that throne the truth is spoken to this day. It is by the Holy Spirit who comes in the name of the truth, the name Yeshua. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, as promised, came to the world, but not to the world that does not know him, but the believers who are in the world, who have called on the name, the true name of God, that is the name Yeshua, and have received the precious blood of the true God, Yeshua. Say amen if you have called on that name and received the precious blood of God. Amen. Amen. You have called in the name, you have believed in the name, and you have become a child of God. Amen. Then the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, will come into you when you ask. When you ask, when you seek, he will come into your life, come into you, your spirit, you the spirit inside the flesh, and he will dwell inside. And what will he do? Is he going to tell you to get a, like what kind of job you should go, where you should invest your money, who to get married to, or where to live, what to eat for lunch? The Holy Spirit does not do that, but many people misunderstand it. Oh, wait, hold on. Pastor, you're speaking too loud. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. He led me here, and now it's time for me to leave. I got to go somewhere else. And you know, we had people like that coming to church and going like, I'm here because the Holy Spirit sent me, and I have a message for you from the Holy Spirit. And then they say, well, it's not time for me to leave. I got to go elsewhere. The Holy Spirit is leading me out. What is the Holy Spirit speaking? If you go back to the main text, John 16:13-15, what did Yeshua say? When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So what he's saying is exactly what he said to the disciples after he resurrected, as he was ascending to heaven. It says, all authorities of heaven have been given to me. Now go to the end of the earth and go and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have told you. Right? I will be with you until the end of the age. So I will always be with you. So that being with you is through the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, we are baptized and we are to baptize. The church ought to be baptizing in that name because that's what he commanded. And that's what the Holy Spirit does through the church, because the church was born with the coming of the Holy Spirit in his name. Yes? So baptism is what we begin with, or begin our Christian life, and that's what the church ought to be teaching and guiding, because that is the word, the command of Christ. But it doesn't end there. Everything that he has commanded, we expect to hear that from the Holy Spirit who speaks in the church. Yes? Amen. And you're going like, yeah, you've been saying this all, it's the same, it's the same. It is the same, but you have to now understand, like, why is the truth so important? Because we live in the world that will fade away. But the world is not going to tell us that. The world says, let's correct it, let's make this better, let's improve this, and it will last forever. It can last forever. Politicians promise that, or some movements, or whatever it is, culturally, politically, environment. All these people are promising the world can last. Let's invest our time and our future here. But these are all lies. What we see will fade away. The visible world that we live in will fade away. The visible body that we are living in will fade away. Do you believe that? Yes, it will fade away. Look at the leaves falling, the seasons changing. We ought to know how time is passing and our bodies are aging, changing. It means it's time. The time is coming. It's time for me to leave. Me, the spirit, to leave. The world's not forever. My body's not forever. This life is not forever. What is forever? It will stay the same because it is the truth. And that is the life of Yeshua, the word of Yeshua, the promise of eternal life with him. Hallelujah. So we ought to be awakened by the Holy Spirit who guides us to all into truth, guides us into the truth. And when you come into the church, therefore, you ought to be hearing the true name, Yeshua, not Jehovah. But how many preachers are right now speaking? Okay, never mind Yeshua. They ought to be speaking Jesus. But I remember going to some mega church at the time in Korea. We were, it was pre-Zoe, but Pastor Kang, and she was preaching somewhere, and then we went to some mega church that was growing and still is a mega church in Korea. And so many people are going there, you know, intellectuals, the professionals, they're all going there in Seoul. So we went there for the Sunday, because we had to go to Sunday service as well. And we went there and we came out so angry, fuming. Like the fire smoke was coming out of our ears and our nostrils. Because the preacher who preached for about maybe half hour. I know some of you are going like, why can't you be like him? You know what I'll say? Pray about that. Yeah, pray about that. So anyway, he preached for 30 minutes. And for 30 minutes, all he talked about was the Old Testament. He was talking about Jacob and Esau. And the story was, don't be like Esau and be like Jacob. No, I'm sorry. Don't be like Jacob. Yeah, he was a Jacob and even. But Jacob ends up receiving blessing, but he was so cunning. Like he was cheating his brother. So I still don't get what he was trying to say. But he was saying, don't be like him. Don't be a cheater like him. And may you be blessed in the name of Jesus. Goodbye. That's what he said. At the end. No lie. We were waiting, counting. When is he going to say Jesus? When is he going to say Jesus? At the end, bless you in the name of Jesus. That's what he said. And there's so many people we had to wait to exit the building. And he actually said in his announcement, please don't bring anybody anymore. There's no more parking space. Yeah. Can you imagine? Don't come anymore, all right? Don't worry. You're not going to hear that from here, all right? But there, they were saying that. We have so many people. Don't evangelize, please. Because people just keep on coming. What are they coming for? Coming to be blessed, to be not like Jacob or be like Jacob? I can't even keep straight what he was trying to say. We do hear about the Old Testament here. You certainly do, and you should expect to hear. Because it is upon the covenant and the prophecy of the Old Testament that the true God came as man, and his name is Yeshua. Amen. So if you're hearing still Jehovah, you sang the song Yeshua. So maybe some churches out there go, Jehovah. Oh, wow. So holy. So holy. Jehovah, so holy. Because that's what I expect from church. Not the screaming Yeshua and blowing nose with those tissues there. It's like, what is this? This doesn't feel like church. So some people say, how did you like it? And they're like, oh, it was interesting. It was interesting. That's the polite way of saying, like, I don't like your haircut, but it's interesting. Yeah, I had. So just because Jehovah, because it sounds antique, right? Antique and orthodox. And it sounds like what the church should be speaking. You need to ask, is that the truth? Is that preacher speaking of it? Is that church speaking of the truth? Remember what the fathers said. God said from the heaven, the voice says, this is my son whom I love. With him, I'm well pleased. So listen to him. No, do not listen to Moses. Do not listen to Elijah. Do not listen to what's commanded with Jehovah's name. You are going to listen to what has been commanded in the name Yeshua, in my name. Hallelujah. Yet many churches are still just ending their preaching with God this, God that, God that. And of course you're going to hear God here. Of course he is God. But they don't even speak the name of God. They're spending so much time about the blessing of Moses. As Deuteronomy 30 says, going in and out, you'll be blessed, and the animal travel will be blessed, and your kitchen will be blessed, your children will be blessed, your maidservant will be blessed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's great. I love that church. It's all about blessing. All about blessing. God loves you just the way you are. You don't need to change a thing. This is like a pop song, just the way you are. Do not change a thing. People like that. I don't need to change my life. I just come just the way I am. Yes, you come just the way you are. But you must change as a result of knowing the truth. You realize how untrue you have been, how false you are, how deceived you are. Yet you have been deceitful. You have been. You love the lies because they sound sweet to your ears. Because your father is the father of lies. That's the reality of the sinner's life. So when you come into the church that speaks the truth, you ought to hear the name of the truth, the word of the truth that is the word, the command of Yeshua, even if it makes you uncomfortable, even if it makes you unpopular. We have so many people come in the 35 years of our church. If you look at the registration number, like thousands of people have come. And how many do we have? Obviously, not all of them have stayed. Had we preached in 30 minutes, and as we were planting MMC ministry there in 2014, before that, we were doing a lot of research, and we were having discussion, and I was reading books and articles about, because we thought, okay, maybe we will start at the time, you know, start a Sunday service there and start church there. It was just logistically very challenging, but I was reading up on that. Like one of the first things, advice to the church pastor who was starting a church, especially in places like Manhattan or in these big cities. Number one, only preach 30 minutes. And number two, preach to cater to the people that you want to target. So you need to, it's like marketing, isn't it? Yeah, marketing. So these books are written by like marketers. They're of course, publishers are like that. But these are preachers who have from their experience of ministry, of successful stories, that they're writing these books. This is the advice that I give to you. You want to succeed in Manhattan? You want to succeed in your new church? Preach short, because nobody wants to stick around for more than 30 minutes hearing about the Bible. And tell them, talk to them about their life. That's what it says. Make it relatable to them. I mean, I do give you examples of current examples, right? Pastor Kang and I, we keep up with current events and current things, situations, of course, in light of the signs of times, as well as to be relatable for us in application and understanding. But that is not the purpose of preaching. But that's where people are going. They love that. They love that God is love and he's accepting every one of us the way we are. We come as what we are, but we no longer ought to be what we were. As a result of knowing the truth that set us free from the law of sin and death, from sin and death. Hallelujah. So we ought to love the command, the word of Christ, which is the truth. Even if this is difficult for you. Even if you're sitting there going like, how come I don't feel peaceful in this church? I feel very uncomfortable. The pastor's looking at me with her fiery eyes. Sometimes I am, because you look very sleepy. And I don't know how to wake you up except my eyes. And amazingly, some people, they wake up. It's like the people who talk about near-death experiences, like telepathically, they get the message. It's like, oh my God, the pastor was looking at me. And then they tell me afterwards, I wasn't sleeping. So this so-called prosperity gospel is not what Yeshua preached. what this so-called prosperity gospel says is that you give tithe and you come to church, then your life will prosper. You'll make a lot of money. You'll be successful at your job. You'll be successful in your family. As a father, as a mother, as children, you'll be successful. Wherever you go, you'll be blessed. You'll be bringing blessing to the people. All the material blessings of the Old Testament, they repeat. And these are the places where just people keep coming and coming and loving. But when did Jesus ever preach that message? Didn't he rather say, lay down your wife, your father, your mother, your children, your land, your field, and take up your cross and follow me? Then for you, promise is eternal life. And in this life, a 30-fold, a 60-fold, a 100-fold. So all that is just a sign that he is true. His word is true. It is not for you to hold on to the 100-fold and live on forever on earth. You ought to, when you taste it, how God provides, then all the more you lay down. Because his word is truth. He said, put yourself to death by denying yourself. Carry your cross. Then you will live. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's the truth. So if we're inspired by the Holy Spirit, we need to shake off the lies that we're tempted to hear. So 1 Timothy 4:1-2 says, the Spirit clearly says in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They say, you know what? This kind of teaching here in Church of Jesus is so impractical. Always about obey, 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 obey. Come to church, come to church, come to church. I don't want to hear this. You know what? There are plenty of churches out there. And all this is like too much. So they have to kind of like rationalize their behavior. Like, I'm going to go where it fits. It's more in line with what I think. What I think. What I like. Me. Are they led by the Spirit of truth? The Spirit of the truth speaks the same word that Yeshua spoke. So go back to the Bible and see what he said. He spoke such strong message about hell, warning about hell. So that's why you're hearing hell here. And for us to hear by hell and we live the life that runs away from hell, we have to shed our old selves, put ourselves to death. That's what you're hearing here. So the word of truth is spoken in the church of truth by the Spirit of truth. 2 Timothy 3:13, however, it says, evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Where is this all coming from? Let's look at James 1:14-15. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Read again. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. I love the imagery of giving birth, conceiving and giving birth. You let your evil desires linger long enough, it will give birth to sin, and sin will lead you to death, destruction. And remember, these words, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, James, are spoken to the churches, not to unbelievers. This is a warning for the Christians today, us. So we have to make sure that, where is my desire coming from? You can attach the brand name Lord, Yeshua this, Yeshua that, Yeshua this. But is it really Yeshua who told you to put yourself to death? Or is it the idol that is growing inside your heart? What is an idol? Idol is a desire for the world that is disguised as holy, as godly, disguised as false god. We have to ask ourselves, if the Holy Spirit inspires us, he inspires us to see ourselves. The light is shining so brightly and deep in our place, in our heart. Where is your desire coming from? That desire. What is that desire? Is that the desire for the soul or for the flesh? Are you packaging it like making it sound spiritual, but it really is about yourself in the end? As Galatians 5 says, what the flesh desires is in contrary to what the Spirit desires. We talked about the Spirit me last night, and it just made me sob this morning when I was preparing for the word today and thinking about myself, and then all room full of souls, and we're saying, I'm a soul. I really felt the heart of God, heart of the Father, seeing all of us as souls. We are packaged in these different bodies of different skin color, different background, coming from different experiences. But in the eyes of God, we are all souls. And all souls desire one thing, to go back to God. To go back to God. Because we come from God. When God breathed his breath into Adam, that breath became that spirit that came from God. And that spirit wants to go back to God. But what's the problem? It's the flesh. The flesh hinders. So without the help of the Spirit of truth, we will not be able to discern. Without the help of the Spirit of truth, the deceiving spirits will continue to speak lies to us. If we don't pay attention to cut off lies, we may be in danger of distorting the word of truth. To please as a servant who's been sent to please the Lord, the master, we ought to only speak the truth that he sent us to speak. So that's what the apostle said in 2 Corinthians 4:2. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we can commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. We pray that we are guided into the truth ourselves first of all, and that when we are hearing the word of truth, even if it's inconvenient, we say amen. Amen? Even if it's painful to hear and uncomfortable to accept, we say, amen. That's why you need to study the word, study what the word of truth says. And if it is true, there's nothing else to say but amen. What do we say? Amen. And live the life of amen. And it is to only speak the truth, even if it is risk of losing everything and everyone. Even if everyone comes and everyone leaves, in the time of Yeshua at the end of John 6, when he was speaking like, my flesh is real food, in 6:55, my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Now we understand that, however. We understand it now by the Spirit of truth, because he's the truth, his flesh is real food, his blood is real drink. But at the time people hearing that, at the end of that chapter, everyone left. That's why Yeshua turned to the disciples and said, are you going to leave me too? But Peter said, where shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. For you have the words of truth, where shall we go? That's what you ought to expect to hear from the church. If that church is founded on the truth, expect to hear the words of Yeshua, even if it's inconvenient, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it pains you, so that it will bring you to repentance, cut to the heart, to resolve to never live by lies, by deceits, that you resolve to never say lies. Even if you lose all, you are to gain and hold on to the truth and absolutely resolve to get rid of any idol that might have set itself up in your deepest place in your heart. Then the Holy Spirit will awaken us so that we may gain souls, that we may gain fruit, and we may gain life in the spirit and also life in the flesh. He will provide us health. He will provide us jobs. He will protect us, our families, so that we know that his word is truth in our lives. All the more we will become bolder and stronger to be his witnesses, speaking only to the truth and leading souls to the truth. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's close our eyes and ask the question, is the Spirit of truth working in my life right now? That depends on what your desire is and where that is coming from. Is it to elevate yourself, to promote yourself? Yes, this whole world, this whole generation is about that me generation, selfie generation. To God, the truth that has nothing to do with him. He will have nothing to do with such men. If the Spirit of truth is working in my life, I ought to be following the desire of the spirit, not the desire of the flesh, the desires of the arrogance or the pride of this flesh. I ought to put that to death. I ought to get rid of it right now. Let's lift up our hands humbly and ask the Spirit of truth to lead us, to teach us, so that we are guided into all truth. Yeshua! Yeshua.